direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
It is September 9/11 emergency on the Raleigh James Show, and appropriately, a lot of people are reflecting on the lives that were lost. That type of an event is a shock to every one of us. But what will become more apparent as the days, months, and more importantly, years go by, that it's likely, and I don't think this is an over-exaggeration, that we will lose more lives than that, maybe a multitude more, due to socialized medicine, in this case, Obamacare. It wasn't lost on me that just today, Great Britain announced that the NHS hospital death rate's among the world's worst, far inferior, 45% higher than in the United States as it now stands. And of course, the NHS, and we do our NHS horror of the day and don't run out of things to talk about, but is one of the models for this. Years ago, I said that Social Security is what happens when Marx meets Ponzi, but the reality is what we've got here is far greater than that. The dollars, and we'll get into that, are one thing, but this time we're playing with our lives. And again, I'm not over-exaggerating. I want you to meet Dr. Keith Smith. I've wanted to interview Dr. Smith for a while because he is innovative in a way that I wish more medical professionals were. In 1997, he co-founded the Surgery Center in Oklahoma. And we've talked about that place quite a bit because you can go online, transparently see what the pricing is if you're not insured or if you've got a catastrophic policy, which will soon be legal under Obamacare, illegal, if you're from another country and trying to escape their socialized medicine scheme, Canada, anyone, this is a great place to go. Dr. Smith is a board-certified anesthesiologist, and welcome to the Raleigh James Show.
Thanks.
It's great to have you join us. Firstly, I've mentioned this on the air often, anesthesiologists are the unsung heroes of the medical profession. Usually, it's really true. I've been a consumer of medical care throughout my life, and usually people don't even think about their anesthesiologist, the guy or gal who's going to bring them back from death. But when they get the bill, insurance routinely gives you the worst rate, and so very often, so I got this bill, let's pay it gladly. So thank you for what you do. I appreciate that. But more than that, you seem very libertarian-esque and certainly as outraged as I am about what's coming. So my first question actually goes beyond what's coming, but once we get there, are folks like you going to be put out of business?
I don't really think so. I think that, fortunately, the government gets everything wrong, and they're going to get Obamacare. They're going to get that wrong, too. And very paradoxically, in their attempts to drive the price of health care and insurance through the roof so that we'll beg for single-payer sequel, they're going to get it wrong. And paradoxically, they will create a new type of health care consumer. Because as your insurance and mine skyrockets, we will act and we'll increase our deductible exposure, and more of the health care we buy will come out of our own pocket. And people who buy things with their own money tend to ask the same question. They want to know how much is it and how much they want to know up front. So there's going to be a new breed of consumerism, I think, that's born paired up very, very unintentionally as a result of this health care bill. And that's going to be very deflationary because anytime you ask someone how much does this cost, they're concerned about how they answer that question, that you go down the street to their competitor and ask them and shop around. So I'm actually very optimistic that this bill is going to do the opposite of what it's intended to do, and it's going to be very healthy.
God, I pray you're right. I've never prayed so hard in my life that somebody was right. My concern, of course, maybe I don't have that much faith in my fellow American. I hope I'm wrong. They've given me some glimmer of faith lately with Syria. At least I'm seeing people oppose that. So who knows? Maybe the world will turn. But already you mentioned the high deductibles. And for many individual insurance customers who are not getting it through an employer, the catastrophic plans have been a godsend. You pay about $100 a month, depending on your age, and you're going to eat up to $10,000 in terms of deductible, and maybe even a little more in terms of expenses. And you gladly do it because you know what you're getting. Now, that policy is illegal under Obamacare.
Right. Yeah, and there's a reason for that. I mean, the central planners are trying to herd everyone into a pack. They've got these navigators that are out just lying to young people about all of the benefits of this plan, because it really is a Ponzi scheme, just like Medicare and Social Security. And without the participation of the young people paying outrageous premiums to subsidize older and sicker people, the whole thing falls apart. I've argued that the Republicans, rather than waste their time talking about defunding Obamacare, ought to spend their time encouraging the young to not participate in the exchanges, and then it's defunded.
I think that's great, and I'm with you 100% there. I think we will see that. And, of course, they talk about three tiers of payments, but for somebody who is, say, 31 years old, because if they're under 30, they can still buy that catastrophic plan. But the minute they hit 30, they're in deep trouble here in terms of what their premiums are going to cost, and hopefully they will walk away from that. Of course, everything we know about it economically right now is zilch. We know the employers who are walking away. Today, you probably read this, too, about Trader Joe's, who had one of the best part-time employee health coverage in the industry. They sent him a letter saying you're going to have to be on the exchanges. Those exchanges, of course, open October 1st, and unless you know more than I do, we have nary a clue what it's really going to cost.
Yeah, I mean, they're still writing this bill.
Exactly.
I mean, who even knows what's in it? And you're right, the employers are walking away. They're doing it in two ways. They are just telling the employees good luck, but a lot of employers are self-funding. And that's very interesting to watch. Companies that have as few as 40 employees, 30 employees, are seceding from the regular insurance game and are self-funding and buying a huge catastrophic policy to back up their company, but paying for their employees' health care expenses out of operational revenue. That's actually the fastest-growing part of our business at Surgery Center of Oklahoma. These companies are flying patients to Oklahoma to have surgery because our prices are so low here.
And not only are your prices so low, because when people hear that, the first thing they think is, oh, my God, cut-rate medicine. Your infection rates are off the charts low. Nothing happens to people coming out of that place, which is amazing.
Yeah, we decided to put our infection rates online to demonstrate the quality. And unfortunately, in healthcare, the free market is really not at work. People think what we see in the dysfunctional healthcare marketplace is a failure of the free market, but it's really an absence of the free market.
Yes.
Unless you're looking at LASIK or plastic surgery.
Yes.
Where quality has soared and prices have gone through the floor.
Yeah.
So the strange truth is that in all likelihood, the more people are paying for healthcare, the more shoddy is the treatment and the quality. There's actually an inverse relationship between what people pay for care and the quality, in my opinion.
Yeah, and the system as it now is, and it'll get worse, is not only completely opaque, there's nothing transparent about it, but the cost shifting is just unbelievable. If you go in there uninsured, you're going to pay 10 to maybe 20 times more than what Medicaid would have paid for something. So the consumer ultimately, without prepaid medical, because it's not insurance in any real sense, is paying for everybody who came before them.
That's right, and there's another scam the hospitals play in that they make money even when they don't collect, because while they wave the charity flag with one hand, they fleece the taxpayer with the other hand through something called the disproportionate share hospital or uncompensated care scam. So hospital, it's like a reverse Enron, where the more they claim they lost, the more they make. So they really provide no charity care. They say it's cost shifting is going on. There are no costs to shift because they're collecting on everyone who comes through their doors, whether they pay or not, because the taxpayers pick up the tab for those who don't pay.
Right, and where we are now, you can trace it back, and I know you have, Keith, but when you trace it back, every one of our ills comes to the government being involved, either through insurance regulations or directly through their own regulations, with the process. I can't think of any case where the free market has hampered our ability and the cost of our care.
Yeah, you're exactly right, and people need to be very careful not to equate the free market with the crony capitalism that predominates, you know, the cartelization of healthcare, where the insurance companies and the hospitals work very closely together using the rules that they have paid so handsomely for from Washington, D.C., to crush any sort of entrepreneurial effort or competitors coming into the marketplace. I've said many times that anything that oozes out of Washington, D.C. is going to line the pockets of those who wrote or promoted it. And the federal government's fingerprints are all over every single thing that is wrong with health care. And the last thing we need is more of that.
And this is different than all of the other things that happen on Washington, because this time, as I say, I'm not exaggerating, we're paying with our lives, we're paying with our quality of life. And this is a battle that can be very detrimental to us if we lose. Now, I would think that every right-thinking doctor would be like yourself and get this. And then I read things like today, I'm sure you saw it too, the SEIU vows to promote Obamacare by sending out doctors door-to-door. Can't wait to see this. So the first question is, of your brethren, medical professionals, I'm sure there are some people with daggers in their eyes because you dare to be independent. But overall, yeah, I can only imagine. yeah, that's a topic, too. It's good you're breathing. That said, how many percentage-wise, and this is just off the top of your head, you don't know, I realize that, but how many doctors would you think are openly looking to this, saying, this is going to be much better for us?
Oh, I would say less than 5%, and many of those are academics that are okay. not out in the real world practicing medicine. So I'd say the vast minority believe that this is a good thing.
Good. Now, what percentage do you think, and some, of course, economically can't do it because maybe they just built a building or whatever, but of those who can afford to walk away and retire, what percentage are doing that?
I've read as high as 70%, and I think that's probably right. The doctors who are in their late 50s, early 60s, that are facing hostile takeovers from big corporate hospitals, having to purchase these mandated electronic health record systems, threats, incredible threats from Medicare and CMS, they're going to quit. And the disaster that represents is the clinical skills and acumen that's banked amongst that group. That's really tragic.
It's probably the most dangerous thing that a patient can realize on something like that, because in sheer numbers alone, that means a lot of people who think they're speaking English but aren't are going to be here to treat us.
That's exactly right. And it's also no mistake that Congress has exempted themselves from this law, just like they have Medicare and Social Security. They don't want anything to do with it. They know that this is horrible, and you know, they just exempt themselves.
Well, two things come to mind with that. One is, of course, it's even more egregious here because this bill specifically in black and white prohibits them from doing it. In the past, it's been inferred they shouldn't. Now it says they can't, but they have. But the other thing is, unless they know of some great clinic in Belize or something, they're still, even paying out of pocket, are going to have to be dealing with the shortage of doctors and specialists and the brain drain you're talking about.
Yeah, and what we'll see is a two or even three tier sort of system, and there will be a free market, and that is where people will get their care. If anybody wants to see a physician, they're going to have this card that says Obamacare on it, but they'll soon find that coverage doesn't mean care. There will be physicians that are ready and willing and able to treat patients, but there may be lines in front of those guys' offices and those gals' offices because they're going to be a lot of people, just like you said, that just decide they've had it.
Well, you know, it's interesting that it's not lost on me, coverage doesn't equal care, and it's not lost on anyone in this country who is on Medicaid right now. As we've said before, Medicaid is not insurance. It's a hunting license to find a doctor in the medical community, and good luck if you can. And so many Medicaid recipients know firsthand that coverage does not equate to care.
Yeah, you can ask Canadians. They've all got coverage, but a lot of them are coming to Oklahoma City to my facility to have surgery.
Oh, sure they are.
So, you know, they have a right to a place in line, or as I've said, they have a right to hope for care.
Well,
there are people that are in line for 2 or 3 years for horrible, very fixable problems, and they buy a plane ticket and they come to Oklahoma and they go to a lot of facilities along the border and pay cash to have their problems treated. And that's what it'll be like here for a period of time until this thing unravels.
Well, I hope you're right. Our fear, and having lived on the border at Canada on both sides of the border, I can tell you firsthand that the United States is the safety valve when you can get enough money together, and Canada says, sorry, it's going to be 230 days before you get that MRI, you come to America. But the kind of growing fear among some Canadians is that safety valve will disappear under Obamacare, that they won't be able to do that with many places. Now, at one point I read in your literature that you were the only such surgery center in the United States that was entirely private. Have more been cropping up, or is there more talk of this happening?
Oh, no. There are a lot of surgery centers and even physician-owned hospitals in the United States that are completely private. There are many of us. The thing that makes us different is we've put our prices online and have been transparent so that people know what it's going to cost up front. That is a movement that has gone viral in the United States and is probably the most destructive thing for Obamacare that there possibly could be, because what the central planners always do is capitalize on people's fear. And if prices go through the roof, then they've created the crisis they need so desperately to usher in single payer. And by being transparent in pricing, then it's deflationary, and it's completely destructive of the crisis creation. So that's going on all over the United States now, because people in Vermont and in Oregon are printing out the price list for our surgery center. And while they've got that in one hand, they've got a plane ticket to Oklahoma City in the other hand, and they're asking their local hospital or surgery center to step up and match that price. And, you know, tired of watching people leave town and come to Oklahoma, that's what's going on all over the country. So it's very, very healthy, very destructive for Obamacare, and hopefully eventually people will be scratching their heads and be, you know, watching these prices fall like a rock and think, wait a minute, now this is not really a problem anymore. What's going on?
I hope you're right. Again, my fear is usually when the government sees competition, i.e. the free market, that they find a way to legislate it out of existence. And especially with things like the FDA that I don't think have ever saved anybody, there are so many ways I could think for them to create a situation and claim that the only solution is to control it or to put it under the umbrella and things of that nature. But you really, in your heart of hearts, think that freedom will win out here?
I didn't think so at first when we put our prices online, but what has happened that's really surprised me is that the response to what we've done with our transparent and affordable pricing with, you know, coupled with incredibly high quality, is we found it's nonpartisan. I mean, the mainstream media love us. We've been in the New York Times, MSN, ABC News, most of the just real warm and fuzzy emails I get are from people that you and I would characterize as collectivists, pretty hard left, and they're pointing out, you know, that how many poor people are able to bring their child in for a tonsillectomy at our facility because this pricing is so reachable. So it's a very, you know, cheaper and better is really tough for the government to take on and win a popularity contest. So I'm in agreement with you. I mean, anything the government does typically is a mess, and it's a pay-to-play, very corrupt, bribery-ridden sort of regime in Washington, D.C. But I think this is very tough for them because cheaper and better, that's tough for a politician to attack.
Gosh, I hope so. I see many times where the government will put in some states, for instance, some treatments off limits, or some states say, yes, you can have naturopaths. Other states say, no, you can't. Other disciplines as well. They try to narrowly define what is medicine and want to prosecute people for this or that. So I'd be willing to stand behind the cow and get veterinary medicine over Obamacare, but in most places it's not legal. And my fear is, will they legislate it out of existence? And I hope not. The false flags like we see in the Middle East, I can just see them saying, oh, but people are being hurt by this, as they're wont
right.
to do. Hopefully there will be enough public recognition and enough public knowledge that this is an option, which is one of the reasons I wanted to talk with you tonight, that people will realize this before the government can, you know, come up with something to say that it's injurious. Now, you mentioned electronic medical records, another thing that just really slays me, I think, more than anything else, and we talk about this a lot. It sets psychiatric treatment behind decades. Who in their right mind wants to say they're depressed when they might know they're going to lose every gun in their house, for instance? We don't know who it's shared with. HIPAA is a joke. It's not private. But here you are, a private facility. Are you forced to be in the electronic medical record scheme?
No. The way the government has and Obamacare has enforced the purchase of these systems is to threaten physicians and facilities with lower reimbursement from Medicare. And we don't accept government money. We have never accepted a dime of government money. I, at this point, believe that accepting government money is enabling a scheme that's financed on the backs of the unborn. So we have never taken a dime of their money. So they don't have any leverage on us to make us use electronic health records. So we don't have electronic health records at our facility and have no plans to.
And that, by the way, is worth paying a premium right there for. But, you know, my fear is that at some point they'll come down and say that in order to have a license, you will, in fact, be on the electronic medical records plan. I'm delighted to hear that's not yet the case.
It's not the case. And, you know, in Oklahoma, even the public officials here and the politicians have realized the value in what we are doing. And it is deflationary. There are other medical facilities here in Oklahoma City that have joined us. There's a cardiac hospital, an orthopedic hospital. There's a full-service hospital with an emergency room and an ICU that have adopted price transparency, and they've joined us in this effort. And what's happening is prices for healthcare in Oklahoma City are falling. And they're falling pretty hard. And I've made the case to the government officials here in Oklahoma, and they agree that this is an opportunity for the state of Oklahoma to advertise itself as a soft place for businesses to land with a very fairly priced healthcare environment.
Yeah.
So there's some government, you know, some state government power that is, you know, it's got its guns, you know, pointed outside of the state toward Washington, D.C. if they decide they want to invade this movement. And, I mean, that's the way the country was kind of set up, you know, was for the states to be sovereign and to protect us from the Leviathan. But I think this will be very tough for Washington to successfully attack. Like you, I mean, I don't put anything past the central planners and their desire to destroy the private practice of medicine, but I see it as very tough for them right now.
It's a great position to be in. You're the first person to give me hope since this thing was passed. Every day that passes, I see another nail in the coffin. And if we can, in fact, through a private system, bypass it, especially those records, it's worth its weight in gold. We're talking with Keith Smith. He is also a part of AAPS, and we've got links to that, as well as links to Keith's Oklahoma City Surgery Center at surgerycenterok.com, at raleigh.net, and check it out. A lot of interesting writing, as well as, of course, information on how to make use of the facility. But just in general, the more we know, the better we will be, both physically and fiscally, as time moves on. We'll continue. If you've got any questions, sure, I won't entirely hog Keith. You're welcome to join us at 610-640-6400 right here on The Raleigh James Show.
It's the Raleigh James Show.
Indeed, and let me take a moment to mention gold. You know, we talk about the government and how it has invaded our life. Obviously, our currency is fiat. It's what the government says it's worth, what the Federal Reserve thinks at any moment. So having investments, at least a certain portion of them, in something that is real, that has value apart from what the government says it is, makes sense. Some people tell you that gold and silver, it's going way up. And it could. Other people tell you, well, it's really going to drop. And it could. But what it can't be is worthless. No matter what happens, if the government fails to exist, if the currency goes away entirely, gold and silver, precious metals, have value. A lot of people don't do anything about it because they were like I used to be. I don't know a thing about this. Well, first thing I discovered that all of precious metals, gold, silver, and such, are either bullion or they're numismatic. If they're bullion, it's just how much gold is in the item, how much does it weigh, and that's how the price is going to be set based upon the gold markets. If they're collectibles or numismatic, they're going to have a premium. And sometimes that makes a lot of sense to pay it, and other times maybe it's way out of line. It's not that hard to navigate, but what really is crucial is dealing with somebody who knows their stuff and who has the integrity to tell them the truth. And for me, that's Melody at Discount Gold and Silver Trading. DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com, 800-375-4188. She's the only person I deal with because I do. I trust her. I trust her to know what she's doing. She's not a psychic. She can't tell me exactly where gold's going to be, but she can give me the benefit of having been a trader in precious metals for many years and having the integrity to call it exactly as she sees it. In a fair deal, nobody beats her commission rates. And if you hear these ads about people who have some great price on gold, all the dealers are getting it from the same place. It costs them all the same thing. Yeah, somebody might give you a loss leader occasionally and you get a great deal, but woe be you when you go back to buy something else. As I say, in a fair deal, nobody's going to beat her. Fastest shipping in the industry and customer service. You know, we talk about electronic medical records. Well, there's nothing electronic about her business, nothing computerized. Everything's done the old-fashioned way by hand. That gives you a certain amount of privacy you're not going to get anywhere else. DGScoins.com, DGScoins.com, or 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. And you remember to tell her that Raleigh sent you.
Well, it ain't the measles, and it ain't the flu, just a little old virus, type of Y-O-U. I'm coming down, down, coming down with love. Well, all I did was kiss you once or twice. Ooh, my lips are like fire, and my hands are like ice. I'm coming down, down, coming down with love. Angels are flying, I'm sinking fast. If this is dying, who wants to last? Now don't you call no doctor. Don't you call an old nurse. I don't want to get better. I just want to get worse. I'm coming
out of her car and on your radio. It's the Empress of the Interstates, Raleigh James. Call Raleigh at 888-876-5593. 8888-RALEIGH.
Yeah, well, if you want to get worse, have we got a plan for you? It's called Obamacare. You'll get worse, that's for sure. We've been talking with Keith Smith. You can read some of his writings at aapsonline.org. I've got a link at raleigh.net. You can check out his surgery center, surgerycenterok.com. Even if you're hopefully pretty healthy right now, you're going to want to read some of his blogs and some of his links, because knowing what's coming down is probably the best vaccination you're going to get against Obamacare. That's for sure. And one thing we haven't talked about, Keith, is not only the lack of transparency in terms of pricing, but with Obamacare, I fear there's going to be a tremendous lack of transparency as to what treatments are available. It seems like only the cookbook medicine is okay.
Yeah, there will be a very strange cooperation between the scientific community, much of whose money is derived from federal grants, and this Obamacare abomination, because there will be this independent payment advisory board, the purpose of which is to render payments below the market clearing price. They will pay a neurosurgeon $20 to take out a brain tumor, for instance, and then there's not going to be that many brain tumors operated on because no one's going to do that. But simultaneously, the federally funded scientific community, if you want to call it that, it's just right out of Atlas Shrugged, they're going to produce the science that they're paid to produce. And, you know, God help them if they produce any sort of results that don't agree with what balances the budget. You know, that we're already beginning to see the recommendations that routine colonoscopies and mammograms and prostate screenings, you know, are just not necessary.
Yeah.
And we'll see more and more of that, whatever is in the interest of balancing the budget. It will have nothing to do with what is good for any individuals. It will be this greater good sort of euthanizing mentality that they have in Great Britain and Sweden and Canada. And it's no mistake that euthanasia is you know, just rampant in these countries that have embraced this sort of thinking.
You don't have to go that far. Just look at Oregon, where they've sent out ledgers that they'll pay for your assisted suicide, but not for your treatment.
Right.
Fortunately, they so overstepped that there was somewhat of a backlash. But as time goes on, things that were considered once outrageous are accepted as commonplace. Now, of course, the payment board, and we've been talking a lot about this from the standpoint of the just pure rationing. You're too old to get it. You're too sick to get it. You're too young to get it. Whatever. They'll decide who's the, you know, you're too much of a capitalist to get it. whatever the criteria is for why they'll deny it, that's one thing. But assuming that we're not talking about the mechanisms of funding, going back to Hillary Care when she wrote her ridiculous bill in 93 or so, the thing that struck me in that was that it really was a cookbook. They were talking about outcome-based treatments, you know, in terms of things that worked were okay. If it didn't work, well, it would be illegal to do. Do you see coming down with this the idea that a doctor won't be able to make his decision of what the best treatment will be for his patient?
Yeah, and that is correct, but they'll do it out of self-preservation. If a physician is judged on his outcomes in a very and he's profiled
right
by his outcomes and paid by his outcomes, the very, very sick, complicated patient with multiple issues that is not likely to have a great outcome will never darken his door. He won't
right.
let him in.
Yeah.
So just out of self-preservation, the people who need the care the most desperately will be the ones who are just completely disenfranchised with that sort of regime.
Yeah, that and
that sort of thinking.
And then depending on what the issue is, as I often say, medicine is an art as well as a science. And when you've got a great doctor, you're convinced that his scientific knowledge is there. But why you're coming back is because you believe he also, medically speaking, is an artisan, that he's treating you as an individual, as a whole person. And when you have certain things like, say, autoimmune diseases, some of that defies the textbook, if you will. And the best guy or gal is the one who can look at you overall and say, you know, I really think I have a hunch or whatever, and go on it. It seems to me like hunches are going to wind people in jail.
Yeah, there's no doubt what you said is true. There's one organization, and there's really only one. It's the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons that is trying to preserve that artful practice of medicine, that private practice of medicine where the patient and the doctor make the decisions together without an intermediary. I refer to the AAPS as the anti-AMA, just the opposite of the corporatists, you know, that would like to see, you know, some cookbook, like you said, making the decision.
And, of course, AAPS has been around since 1943, so it's not that it's just in reaction to something like Obamacare. This argument, clearly, while maybe not with the fear of socialized medicine, but has been going back a very long time. What started the AAPS on the route to being autonomous and protecting the art of medicine?
I think that it was the efforts to start Medicare that started long before mm-hmm. Medicare ever started. That you know, the AMA was, you know, a bit wishy-washy about it, and even now, I mean, I don't even know anybody that belongs to the AMA. They get most of their money from the federal government to print these code books. So there was a real niche. There was an opportunity for an organization to represent, you know, physicians who wanted to practice, you know, private medicine. People need to also know that the reason the Clinton health care plan failed was due primarily to the efforts of AAPS and Dr. Jane Oriott's efforts
yes.
in particular.
Yes.
And the AAPS is now leading the charge to encourage and enable physicians to go to a completely third-party free practice, which is devastating for Obamacare. I mean, they are creating this private network, if you will, of doctors who are going to look patients in the eye and say, here's what I do and here's how much it costs. So it's a very, very important effort, very important organization, and people that are anti-Obamacare types AAPS needs to be on their favorites on their computer.
No, I agree with that, and hopefully it will be more and more doctors. One of the things that occurred to me is that, especially depending on your specialty, but medicine in general, is the cost of malpractice insurance. And do the malpractice companies, do they look askance at people who aren't part of the system?
No, I don't think so. I think that they underwrite people that have, you know, a bad history of claims. Keep in mind, too, that part of the reason that quality is all over the map is the absence of the free market, because there are physicians whose waiting rooms are full. because they belong to some plan or
right.
because they're a hospital employee, not because they're any good. And as a result of that twist and that sort of disruption of the free market where that guy would be completely out of business, you have more bad outcomes. And so, you know, that's an opportunity then for a lawyer to represent a patient who really has been hurt and needs to be compensated. So if you have all these people that sign up for these HMOs and all these silly plans, and their waiting rooms are full of people, they shouldn't have anybody in their waiting room at all, and they wouldn't if the market were in control.
Well, and depending, the HMO might be suit-proof. One of the things that worries me, and we certainly see it with vaccinations and other things, is the idea that people become immune. The government gives them immunity from prosecution. So the very remedy that an American could use if they were truly wronged is taken away from them. Now, with Obamacare, it's my understanding that you can't sue.
Yeah, I don't know that part of the bill. I couldn't comment on that. I would caution people that if you ever hear three letters together, whether it's PPO or HMO or ACO, it's all the same. It's all about someone else making decisions and being in control of your health care, and that's bottom line.
What we have right now, of course, is the news that the exchanges are opening up October 1st. None of us know what's in them. Of course, we don't theoretically have to go through them, but depending upon your economic status, if you're losing your insurance or your employer no longer is able to contribute a significant portion or whatever the case may be, we're kind of facing this. And it's daunting in that I don't think anyone has any idea. A, are they going to open? B, will they be delayed? And, you know, we kind of hope they will be, just like the large employer mandate was. But from what you hear, are we actually going through with this right now?
Yeah, it looks like in some states that have embraced this whole idea they will open, that, you know, the states that have decided they would embrace Medicaid expansion, and Oklahoma, fortunately, is not one of those states. I think actually the majority of states have said, you know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to have state exchanges, and we're not going to expand Medicaid. I think in those states, it is going to be very, very difficult for the central planners to implement their plan.
I sure hope so. I'm starting to hear the fallout now, and it actually, I shouldn't be this little, but it actually warms my heart when people who are confirmed socialists are discovering that they or their family members suddenly lost all health coverage and they don't know what to do. I think still there is a belief that most people have that, you know, the Republicans are just making it a bigger deal than it is. Our rates aren't really going up that much. When sticker shock actually hits, and it will, do you think there's going to be enough public outcry that Congress has to do something?
I think so. I worry about what they'll do.
Yes.
I've chided the Republicans for this repeal and replace when I think they need to just repeal and acknowledge, like an alcoholic that thinks if they switch from vodka to gin, they're going to have a different result. Anything that is a federal plan, a one-size-fits-all sort of Washington solution for health care, is just going to line the pockets of certain crony capitalists that get involved. So I wish they would just acknowledge that they have a problem and get out of this business altogether. If you want to see a preview of what it's going to look like, you just have to look at Massachusetts, where RomneyCare is fully implemented.
Mm-hmm.
And a healthy 25- or 30-year-old person up there is now paying about $2,500 a month if you include all the subsidies for their policy. $30,000 a year will buy open-heart surgery here in Oklahoma City from a facility whose outcomes rival or better than the big names. So imagine a 30-year-old person, if they just banked 1 year of the health premiums they're going to pay, they could actually pay for a procedure that otherwise people might consider bankrupting.
You mentioned Romney, Karen. Of course, that was the heartache of the last election and proving that we're dealing with Republicrats and Demopublicans, because here we have the choice of renewing Obama when it comes to health insurance or voting for Romney, who we already know what he's doing with health insurance. So people were completely between that rock and hard place. But you've brought up something before that I think is very true, is this whole scheme only works because of these subsidies that when that young person who's paying the $2,500 a month, he's not personally, he's being
right.
subsidized. So it's sort of like it's the demo version, and they don't know what's gonna hit them. The premiums are outrageous. They don't pay them, but nobody's printing the money. The taxpayers are paying this. But if you lure enough of them into this scheme, you're talking about really eliminating private insurance ultimately.
That's right. It's the squeeze out or crowd out sort of effect that happens. And yeah, and the whole point of this bill is for it to fail.
I mean, yes.
To create create complete chaos in an already dysfunctional marketplace. So we will beg Uncle Sam to ride in after this crisis has been created with the sequel.
Yes.
Barney Frank, in a rare slip, and you can watch this on YouTube, he just frankly says, you know, this is the best way to get a single payer.
He's not the only one who's been that bold. I've seen that repeatedly. So the problem I'm having is that it's the first time in my life I believed every bit Barney Frank was saying. He means it, and I'm afraid it's going to work. So tell me again, maybe with some details, how you believe that that's going to fail.
Well, the whole purpose of this, by, you know, eliminating pre-existing conditions, mm-hmm. things like that, which is the equivalent of allowing someone to buy insurance on their house after it's caught fire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole purpose of that is to drive the price of health insurance and health care through the roof. And then people are really against the wall, and, you know, we can't do this. This
right.
is a total failure. And people's memories are short. They'll forget that the government did this,
right?
And they'll have a hard time believing they did it intentionally, because it's going to be so bad. But what people act, you know, the Austrian economists make this point, you know, just ceaselessly. You know, people act, and they act only because they think their subsequent position is an improvement over their prior one. And what we'll do is we will increase our deductibles to keep our insurance premiums reasonable, and we'll increase them pretty high. I mean, you'll see people you would never believe will have $5,000 and $10,000 deductibles just so that they can have some form of backstop. And at that point, they'll be buying most of their health care out of their pocket and be asking, you know, how much is this? And they're going to want to know. And that's going to make prices plummet. And that is going to be destructive, I believe, of the efforts of the central planners. And I think Washington always gets it wrong. There's nobody smart enough to centrally plan some big plan that fits all, and it will fail. But there will be this consumer, this new type of healthcare consumer in the United States that's born, and it's a real opportunity to turn this around.
Here's the thing that worries me about this, is I don't have the faith that they will allow the deductibles to rise the way you're discussing. I wish they would. I wish they'd allow them right now for catastrophic plans. But if they refuse to allow that, which is where they stand today, no way will we let you have more than $6,000 out of pocket or whatever the magic number is. If they refuse to allow that, we've got the Hegelian dialectic where people are screaming, give me, take care of me, I'll give up my liberty for this. So why do you think that they will give us that choice of raising those deductibles?
I think they will, and because the only other place they can go is to actually make the purchase of health care outside of this system illegal.
Uh-huh.
And they will first have to disarm the people in the United States before they go that far.
Do you really? I hope you're right.
Well, there's a reason that there are severe gun control laws in countries that have socialized medicine. I mean, you tell you tell some people I know who live in Oklahoma or Louisiana that their child who can't breathe at night because of their sleep apnea from their big tonsils, you know, cannot have surgery for 3 years. And by the way, it's illegal for you to buy it on your own. You better make darn sure some of those people are disarmed. And I just think that's going to be very, very tough.
I sure hope so. I'm kind of counting on you because you're really the first bright light that I've seen in this. Because, you know, again, with the Hegelian dialectic, you can see exactly how they set up the problem. They give you the solution. And ultimately, incrementally, they got you. And it's worked in pretty much every country in the world. And I hope to God we're the last holdout. Of course, they're going after gun control, fortunately, unsuccessfully. Very nice to see what happened in Colorado today. You probably noted that, where the two state senators who were the biggest in the gun control legislation were recalled. So, you know, things look rosy, but still, from here to there, what kind of a timetable do you think we're looking at?
Oh, my gosh. I think within 12 or 18 months, we will see a very transparent pricing environment that will begin to crash prices. And Wall Street won't like this. I mean, if you watched Wall Street the day after Justice Roberts' decision, corporate health stocks went through the roof. Mm-hmm. All the big hospitals, all the big insurance carriers, their stocks skyrocketed. But they're not going to like it when the prices start to fall. They're not going to like it at all, but I just don't really think they're going to be able to stop it. There are Priceline-like websites that are coming online right now where you can enter a procedure that you desire with your zip code and a radius, you know, do you want it to be 50 or 200 miles, and a list of people who will do those procedures and their pricing and their credentials will pop up. Those things are coming. They are in the chute, and we're going to see that kind of stuff in the next 12 to 18 months. And I really think the cat is out of the bag. If you have rational and transparent pricing, then you can have a market economy. And we don't have a market economy in healthcare, just as Ludwig von Mises pointed out, because we don't have rational and transparent pricing. But once we see that in healthcare, it will be revolutionary, like nothing that has ever happened in healthcare.
You know, one of the ways they get us, apart from the dollars, is the old "it's for the children" paradigm. They pass all these laws because we have to protect the children or anybody. And, of course, you see everything from the questions about vaccination, and you hear both sides of the argument. And it seems to me, in a free country, that an adult should be able to make a rational decision, not only for their child, but in the future for themselves. I've read part of this bill that basically says you have to go to the emergency room, and they don't have any in their electronic records that you got this tetanus shot, they force you into it. So one of the things that I'm worried about is the things that they're going to mandate you do, as well as the things that they're not going to allow you to do. It seems very regimented and almost deleterious to your health to let you or a family member into this system.
And I would agree that, and there's no mistaking why Congress exempted themselves from this, but I think they may have miscalculated if they think that they are going to force a vaccination or some other kind of type of treatment on someone in the United States who you know, takes their liberty seriously. And I think there are enough of us that it's going to be very, very difficult to implement, particularly in certain parts of the country. It's going to be very, very difficult because there'll be violence. I mean, people are just not going to put up with it.
Oh, man, as I say, from your lips to God's ears, I'm counting on you, Keith. You got to come through for me here, buddy. I thank you for what you're doing. Of course, you're a capitalist, and God love you, and you're prospering from the Surgery Center of Oklahoma, and that's terrific, but so are the patients. This, in a free society and a free market, is a win-win deal. And above all that, I appreciate you taking time out for AAPS activities and for joining us.
I'm honored to be on your show. Thanks for having me.
We'll do it again.
Sounds good.
Thanks, Keith. Yeah, so there you go. I've got the links at Raleigh.net, and there are so many facets of this, but I'm actually smiling at this moment in time at the thought of maybe, rather than it devolving to Barney Frank's dream, that we will, just as we're doing right now with the Syrian crisis, standing up and saying, no, thank you, that we will do something about that. So we'll pick it up right there. Yeah, I'll give you more stats about the NHS. That's always wonderful, isn't it? And, of course, SEIU. Trader Joe, sure, those details, you betcha. But if we're really talking about what might affect our health and nothing we can do about it, I've got Fukushima levels for you and more coming up.
It's the Raleigh James Show.